That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
What is a woman? I know, I'm late to the party. That question got asked a few years ago, and even then our culture couldn't answer this basic question. What is a woman? You probably remember this back in 2022, the Supreme Court confirmation hearing. Senator Marsha Blackburn asked one of the nominees to just simply define the word woman. And this nominee, this woman nominee, she was a sitting judge, a Harvard-educated legal mind. She's arguably one of the most credentialed people in the country. And she had a four-word answer to that question that blows my mind to this day. I'm not a biologist. What in the world? And then she said her role as a judge was just to weigh arguments and decide when a definition is disputed. Then we got that documentary literally titled, What is a Woman?, where doctors and professors and activists were asked that exact question, what is a woman? And we all know that film because almost nobody that was interviewed could actually answer it without contradicting themselves. This debate, if you want to call it that, not sure what's being debated, someone's gender is what it is, it's playing out in law and policy too. It's all around us. And the answer seems really obvious. A woman is an adult human female. But we can't even answer simply like that anymore. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up 4+ years later is that we're still swimming in the same soup. In fact, what brought it back up to my mind was this morning I had a conversation with a mom of a teenage girl who sent her daughter to church youth camp, the overnight kind, for a full week, summer camp. Well, daughter gets back and tells her mom that her camp counselor, who was, by the way, appointed by and endorsed by the youth leadership team of the church, was a transgender woman, a biological man pretending to be a woman, in this young lady's cabin, in her bathroom, where she and all her church friends were showering and changing and sleeping. And when the mom went to the church leadership to ask, A, why this person was allowed to be a church camp counselor, and B, why she as a parent was not notified, I kid you not, the church leader said, "We support the lifestyle and choices this person has chosen. There was nothing to alert you to. She identifies as a woman, so she's a woman." And this came on the heels of another ministry acquaintance telling me a few months ago why she left the exact same church. She was told by church leadership that she had to call a man who is, by the way, on staff at the church. This man, transitioning into a woman, she had to call him by his new name with feminine pronouns, or she was going to be terminated from her ministry position. This is a megachurch that probably all of you would know. What in the world is going on here, y'all? Well, when a culture loses the ability to define something as simple as what is a woman, it's inevitably going to bleed into the church. Now, I would hope that most of us could spot secular feminism from a mile away. What's more challenging is the stuff going on inside the church. What about those folks that call themselves Christian feminists or biblical feminists? Is that even a thing? Can you be a feminist and a true follower of Christ? I would say no. Feminist theology, broadly, if you're thinking broadly about it, is seeking to liberate women from what it calls patriarchal systems of power. And these systems of power have supposedly shaped the church, impacted the translation of scripture, and let this stop you in your tracks, the content of the Bible itself. They say that it was written by men for men. They don't treat scripture as authoritative, typically speaking. They don't see it as the spirit-breathed word of God at all. So Christian feminist, biblical feminist, it's really a form of liberation theology. So we just got to reject it across the board. And then there's some who would argue that God never intended any distinction between men and women, specifically in spiritual leadership, at church, at home, that equality means that roles can be interchanged. You might know this line of thinking as egalitarianism. Now, you can use that $12 word to impress your family and friends if you want, but the egalitarians usually lean really hard on Galatians 3:28, which says, "There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And they argue that verse, that one verse, erases every distinction in roles, including who can pastor a church. Now, that's not the only verse that they cite, but it's a major one. Now, I'm not saying all this to scare you. I'm just telling you all this because I love you too much to let you get sucked into an ideology by accident. You got to know what's actually being taught, what's undergirding this stuff, so you can recognize it when it shows up. The bottom line is, this is not a small disagreement that we can chalk up to preferences or convictions. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul writes that as believers, we don't wage war according to the flesh. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Here's verses 3-5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Thank you, Paul, for the battle plan. Yep, we are at war, not with people, but with ideas. Fortresses of thought, if you will, that get built up brick by brick, generation by generation, and it keeps people from seeing God clearly. Paul was not talking about equality in roles in his letter to the Galatians. He was talking in regard to salvation, that we're all on level ground. There's an equal playing field when it comes to saving faith. Yes, men and women are equal in moral worth, in spiritual value. We're equal image bearers of God, Genesis 1:27. James is super clear that favoritism has no place among believers. All of that is true. But equal doesn't mean identical. Think about the Trinity for a second. Father, Son, Spirit. Fully equal in divinity, in power, in glory. And yet the Son submits to the Father's will. And there's a real ordered relationship there without any of them being less than God. Equality and difference of role are not in tension in the Godhead. One God, three persons. And there's no tension between men and women, too, when it comes to our roles. God designed complementary, not identical, roles for a mutually balanced purpose. Side note, complementary, not complimentary, with an E, not an I. Men's roles and women's roles, according to God's word, are complementary, like two things that complete each other, like two halves making a whole. And this is a beautiful biblical theological viewpoint, but some would argue that it's not, because they don't quite understand what complementarianism isn't. It's not the trad wife fad. The Bible's not cookie-cuttering everyone into a 1950s June Cleaver apron and pearl necklace mold. Complementarianism is not some kind of a hierarchy where men rank above women as human beings. There's not a class system. Men carry a responsibility to lead in the home and the church, but Christ completely redefined what that leadership means. When we think authority and leadership biblically, in this case, it's not the right to rule. It's actually the responsibility to serve and protect and lead with love, love for others, but mostly love for Christ. That's headship. I often say that I am so grateful that God made me a woman. The men, they bear the weight. They have the way weightier role in this thing. And no matter what they say, the Bible does not condone the oppression of women. Somewhere along the way, patriarchy got redefined to mean misogynistic control. Well, complementarians, we reject that 100%. We want women to flourish. We believe women flourish most fully when men and women live according to God's design. And this should be a source of joy for all of us. So here's the actual definition. God created male and female as two distinct reflections of one glory. Both sexes bear God's image. There's aspects of the image of God that only women can display and aspects about God's image that only men can display. And the cool part is together in relationship, not only in marriage, but in relationship in general, men and women display truths about Jesus that neither one of us can display alone. Now, before we toss this thing over to Jimmy, I just want to mention something. No doubt that some of you listening have a story where the man didn't fulfill his role as God had defined, maybe even to an extreme. Maybe a husband or a father or a pastor who used headship as a weapon instead of a gift. He might have used his authority to control instead of serve. And I'm not looking to gloss over that. People abuse God's gifts. People take the roles God gives us, the food God gives us, the finances God gives us, the people God gives us, and because of sin, they twist it all up. They abuse the good things of God for their own gain. God's design for men and women is never, ever an excuse for abuse or neglect. When Scripture describes headship, it's describing sacrificial love, the kind that lays its life down. So a man who uses his position to harm you or other women is not living out biblical manhood. But here's the hard part. The answer to misused or abused authority isn't a brand new system that scraps God's design altogether. Authority is a tool like fire or scalpel or dynamite. It can be used to build or blow up a home, a church. It's holding people accountable to use this authority, this tool, rightly. Don't let a painful experience become the lens that you read the whole Bible through. Let the Bible be the lens that you read your experience through instead.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. You know, somewhere there's a mother trying to figure out what happened at her daughter's church camp. This mother trusted the leadership. She sent her daughter off for a week, and what came home was a story she can't even process. And then there was a church who told her that there was nothing to alert her to. She doesn't know where to turn because the people she would have turned to, the leadership in her church, haven't shown her that they're very sound in their decision making. And this woman is exactly who Libby's talking to today. A woman who needs a voice that will say plainly what a woman is and then hand her scripture rather than an apology. And when this woman goes looking for that voice, needs to be waiting. It doesn't need to cost her anything. Because a woman who's honestly in the middle of a crisis of trust is not going to hand over a credit card to find out whether this teacher is faithful or not. You know what? That is what Fortis Plus is for. Every episode and every bit of content that has ever been produced or created by Libby Glossing can be found right there. A woman that women can trust. And you can find it on Fortis Plus right now by downloading Fortis Plus on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org. Thousands of hours of content can be found there from all of our fellows, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Jason Lyle, Todd Friel, and of course, Libby Glossing. And we're adding to it every single day, and it's free, doesn't cost you anything, because we have gospel partners, men and women just like you, who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they wanted to make sure that more people in more places all over the world have access to the content that we're creating. They wanted to make sure that there was someone providing content readily available when the woman in need comes looking. If you want to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we've got all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about what that looks like. And those answers can be found at fortisinstitute.org. Just make sure you're giving to your local church and make sure that this wouldn't be a burden on your family. That's our only two caveats to joining us as a gospel partner. Again, all of the answers can be found at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Libby Glossing. This is The Better Way.
Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossing.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to The Better Way. It truly is a great joy of my life to get to do what I do here at Fortis. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, will you just give the show a quick follow? That way you'll know when new episodes are coming out, and that'll help other women to find helpful content as we're all striving together for the glory of God. Also, if you haven't checked out the other resources available on Fortis, please take a minute to do that in the coming days. There are some great podcasts and church resources and a bunch of other stuff that you can totally trust to be biblically on point. In a world where no one can agree on the definition of what is a woman, aren't you so thankful to have the truth of God's word to define it for us? This is what I love about the authority of God's word and the sufficiency of scripture. We don't need government officials to tell us what a woman is. We don't need social media or a documentary to tell us what a woman is. The Bible gives us a clear definition. And since the Bible is God's breath on paper, and God's the one who created woman in the first place, he is the ultimate authority. That's the only place we need to look. Let's go back to the beginning for a minute, because I think if we skip past Genesis 1 through 3, if we go to the New Testament too fast, we're going to miss the original foundational stuff. Genesis 1, God makes humanity, male and female, in his own image. Bless them both. Equal image bearers. So if anyone tries to tell you that the Bible teaches women are somehow less human or less valuable, Genesis 1, going to shut that down immediately. But then Genesis 2 shows us something that Genesis 1 doesn't. It's kind of a zoom in on a particular part of the creation story. Adam's formed first. He names the animals, and none of them are a fitting companion for him. So God puts him into a deep sleep. He takes a rib and he forms Eve for the man, brought to the man, named by the man, out of the same substance, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, but a distinct role. So equal essence, different design. Both true at the same time. Eve's not given a new assignment. God makes her to be a helper for Adam in his calling to have dominion and multiply. So she's necessary. But then Genesis 3, and that's where it all falls apart. Eve is deceived. She disobeys. Adam, he's standing right there. He's present, but he's so passive in the situation, and he disobeys too. Both of them get held responsible. Both of them get punished. Sin distorts everything. The woman's desire is now going to war against her husband, and he is going to rule in ways that are often harsh rather than sacrificial. Genesis 3, not God's design. It's the wreckage of what happens when his design gets rejected. But the biblical roles hold even through the fall. They were there before the fall, before sin entered the world, and they're there afterwards. And I think it's worth saying that what we are living in the rest of the Bible after Genesis 3 was not God's plan B. This was God's plan all along, to give us a Redeemer, the Messiah, to die for our sin, to give us a way back to how things were before the fall. So, as I said, the biblical roles, they hold after the fall, and the rest of the Old Testament doesn't deviate from this blueprint. And then the New Testament keeps right on trucking in the same direction. We get even more clarity because we have Christ and we see his relationship with the church, and we get the mystery of marriage revealed to us. In Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, Paul tells wives to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, here's what a lot of people miss. This isn't a one-directional command. The husband's job is actually the harder one. That's why I say I'm so thankful that God created me to be a woman. Christ's love for the church was sacrificial and servant-hearted, and he laid down his life. That's the kind of love that husbands, men are called to, the kind of love that Christ had for the church. John Piper has argued that headship, when it's biblically defined, is really a call to take primary responsibility for the well-being of the marriage. It's not a license for control. It's less of an authority over thing and more a loving initiative and provision. And submission in this text is voluntary, and it's rooted in trust. Trust in the Lord, not trust in the man, trust in the Lord. Paul frames it as to the Lord, meaning it flows out of the wife's relationship with Christ, not out of the husband's demand or the relationship with the husband or the trust in the husband or the distrust in the husband. It is as to the Lord. Elizabeth Elliot used to say something like, I wish I had the quote right here, but she said something like that true submission isn't about being a doormat. It's about a woman freely offering her strength in a particular direction. And this is beautiful. This is how God's roles play out with men and women for our good and his glory. Now, Paul isn't the only one. Peter addresses roles and functions of men and women in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 9. And you get these summary verses in verses 8 and 9 in 1 Peter 3. Peter says, to sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So you see the heart behind this? It's all about our heart motivations as we're acting within our roles for the sake of the good of the other and our good and the glory of God. Now, the Bible doesn't stop with husbands and wives, though. In 1 Timothy 2:12, Paul writes that he does not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. And in 1 Corinthians 14:34, there's language about women keeping silent in the churches, which most complementarian scholars read as referring specifically to the authoritative teaching and governing role of elders, not women speaking at all in gathered worship. So we don't have to walk in the church building and never utter a word. I would be in big trouble. Someone I was reading last week said that the restriction is about the office of elder, the authoritative teaching governing function, not about women's giftedness or their intelligence or their value to the body. Women can teach other women in the church. They can teach children. They can lead women's ministries. They can host shows like this one, which is why I take it so seriously to speak only to women on The Better Way. I've had a couple of guys mention that they've listened, but mostly for the sake of helping ladies in their churches or counseling ministries, or even to recommend something to their wives or daughters. The point is, my audience is women because I am a woman and the topic is God's word. And I'm not going to deviate from that. So here's what I never want us to miss. This isn't ultimately about roles. It's about the gospel. In Christ, you are purchased. You are forgiven. You are free from condemnation. You're born again to a living hope. You're a new creation. The old self, the old you, gone, stripped away. You are now a new creation. You have a new self that's able to stand firm against evil, able to do every single thing that God calls you to do. And your biblical womanhood is part of this glorious reflection of the image of God. And this is a good thing. It's a great thing. It's an honor, and it should be your joy. This is another reason behind this show. I want you to experience this joy, to rest in the role and the function that God has divinely ordained for you. And that's true whether you're married or single or widowed or divorced, whether you're 16 or 36 or 96. Now, our culture is going to keep telling you that submission is weakness, that difference is inequality, and that biblical womanhood is oppressive. And sometimes that message is going to come from inside of our camp. So don't take the bait. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ instead. Listen, you are equal when it comes to salvation. You are equal in God's eyes when it comes to value. You are a creation of God. You are part of the image-bearing aspect of his creation of men and women. But you're different. You're created different from the men in your life. And there's joy. There's real, deep, abiding joy waiting for you on the other side of surrendering to God's design instead of fighting it. That's not oppression. It's the better way. It's God's way. Both sexes bear God's image, but This was never ultimately about us, ladies. This is about testifying to the gospel with our very lives, about bearing the image that God has assigned to us when coupled with the men in our lives, specifically husbands and wives for sure, we express the fullness of the image of God that we reflect. So how about this? Instead of being like Eve and essentially saying to God, what you've given me is not enough. I see all of these trees that you have provided for me to eat from that are good and all of the things you walk with me in the cool of the evening. But what I want is that one thing that you have said no to. That's what we do as women when we seek to obtain the parts of the men's roles that are not ours to take. We are seeking to have more than God has given us. We want to eat from that one tree that God has said no to. So instead of that today, ladies, can I just encourage you, find joy in the role that God has given you, in the functions that He's given you, in the ways that you reflect His image and His glory in ways that only you can as a woman. And now that you know the better way to think about a biblical answer to the question, what is a woman? Put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glossin, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glossin, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.